Elgar's Dream of Gerontius by Leslie Adrian Miller. She had no stillness in her, the other woman to whom you gifted a free seat. You must have known our sheathed elbows would vie for the armrest, our breath brayed in the hours we watched you on a stage. She turned to shush someone behind, then chomped her way through the entire oratorio with a wad of gum transformed to pure sinew by the end. You must have known I couldn't turn to look at what was too close, only the hennaed locks flung at my shoulder, or the fringed scarf she pawed from her bag and slung at all of us before she settled in. She smelled of cake foundation, garlic, and a little mildew, itched the backs of her thighs, various points on her face, let out an audible yawn, and later a small burp. Part one was halfway gone before she found the poem in the program, but she failed to turn the page. High boredom, high maintenance, I don't know, but such fidget always makes me shrink to keep the power whole. The flutes insist, tighten up the zone around the self, hold the pool of soul still and clear so the mind can wing. She's not the first to make me want to cup my dark inertia around the thin flame to keep it lit. I went with a man once who wore his bones loud like that, and I wanted to laud such laxity, the body's crude noise of being alive. But beside it, I could only fold and still, balance my hush against the riot of his ripe and shifting knees, his expletives as ready as his breath to take the space around him. And so, I wondered if Elgar's single moment of rapture, lifted out of the choir's mass of whisper, the angel's labored mezzo, had always only lived in the cup of my own disappearing hand.